good?
The bad.
WTF. Thinking.
Welcome to episode 91 of The Good, The Bad, and The WTF. What are they thinking? And this is a bonus episode. We're joining you for the last time before Christmas. But it's not a Christmas episode. But everyone and their mum has watched this movie probably by now, because everyone I seem to speak to has told me they're going to watch it, or they're about to watch it, or they're watching it, or whatever. So shout out to all the people that are sitting in the cinema for free and a bit hours to watch this movie and not taking wee breaks. First question to you, did you take a wee break?
No.
Oh.
You can't wee.
This man's made of steel. I was getting a little bit itchy towards the end. You know when, like, you feel, because it's so long, even if you don't need a wee, part of you goes, well, the idea that I can't go for a wee kind of makes me need a wee? Or is that just me?
Sounds like just you. Sounds like okay. A you problem.
Oh, that's not good.
I think, like, just pace yourself. I had a bottle of water with me, and I just paced myself throughout the whole
experience. I had a beer.
Whole experience.
I had a beer, which I knew was a bad move. Right, I had a beer, but I had a lot of popcorn, because I like popcorn at the cinema. I'm one of those annoying people.
You can't have popcorn without a drink, though, can you? I mean, it's too dry of a food to drink, so it gets clogged up in your throat.
It does. But we're gonna talk less about the snacks and more about the movie itself. Avatar: The Way of the Water is the movie that we saw. Obviously, it's been 14 years since James Cameron gave us the first Avatar. Now, that is a very long time. To put it in perspective, what were you doing 14 years ago? Do you remember?
I wasn't doing this pod 14 years ago.
That's for damn sure. This was before 2010, which is crazy. We're in 2009. And the movie was two hours and 42 minutes long. It was still a long movie, right? I think if you can do that movie, you can do an extra half an hour, is the way I see it. But yeah, it blew me away. I mean, when I saw it, I watched a screening of it. So I saw it nice and early. And Edith Bowman introduced it, which I think is really random. That's the radio DJ, in case you're not familiar with.
Well,
she
was quite high on the movie stuff. Like, she used to do, what's it called, the film review, and she used to, like, sort of sub in for Simon Mayo when he wasn't in for Kermode Mayo. So she's sort of been around the conversation, so it's not that weird, I would say.
Oh, not weird. It was just random, because I just wasn't expecting there to be an intro person to do it. But lo and behold,
was she blue?
She wasn't blue. But it was funny because she pointed out a kid in the audience and said, "How old are you?" And he was like 13, and she was like, "You weren't even born when the first movie was out, and here you are watching the second movie." So yeah, we do have to point that out. Because it has
been
a long
Edith
time.
Blumen. It's just like a shame. Edith Blumen.
Blumen, yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's a lot of effort, though. It's a lot of effort. The majority of the original cast came back, which is good to see as well. I imagine they probably all signed on the dotted line after the first one, and they were like, fucking hell, I didn't know who was going to say this.
I never knew that Matt Damon originally turned down this movie, though. That was news to me. That came out this
to play Jake Sully
around this week. Yeah, he turned it down because he was busy. I think he was doing one of the Bourne movies, so he turned it down. And he's rejected it. Yeah, you know, because they weren't going to pay him a lot of money, but they're going to give him like 10% of the revenue or something.
Oh, 10%.
And so he was kicking himself, something like
about
that. I think it was
10%. That movie made billions. That's insane. 10%. I'm shocked by those numbers. All right. I'm shocked by those numbers. Sam Worthington, though, when he was cast to do this movie, he was still living in his car or something, wasn't he? Oh, no, when he auditioned to do this movie, he was still living out of his car. So that's pretty crazy story. And then we fast forward to now, and he's the main guy in the movie. Firstly, we haven't talked to each other. We actually haven't told each other what we think of the movie at all. So this is going to be a complete surprise.
Very, very silent.
Let's go
so
off
we
the,
have no idea.
Let's go off the bat. Go on. I want to hear your thoughts. It's fresher in your memory. I think you saw it like 4 days ago or something.
To sum it up in one word, I think there's only one word to sum up this movie, and that's impressive.
Ooh.
I think the technology, I heard things about this movie about the technology, and I was always dubious, as you always are, when they say it looks really realistic, and I thought, can it though? Because my mind, especially these days, you know, we see so much CG that everything looks fake these days, it's hard to be surprised. I think one of the last times, and maybe it's because of my age, but one of the last times I thought we saw realistic special effects was probably Jurassic Park, the first one, where those dinosaurs really looked there. That's because they're a mixture of animatronics and CG. And credit to Avatar, it's had 4 years to work on its CG. Not a lot of movies get 4 years. They get like 6 months. 8 months,
yep.
Maybe 13 months. There was, I mean, some of this, I turned to my friend when I was watching it, I was like, yeah, this could be like Avatar. They could call this movie Avatar Blue Planet. But the only thing that's missing is like a David Attenborough narration, because some of it is just so ultra detailed, and it just feels realistic. I mean, one of my favorite scenes in this movie, I don't know what one of your favorite scenes is when, I'm going to get the names confused. I think we're going to have this problem because there's a lot of new people in this, a lot of new names to get over, and a lot of different pronunciations. I think it's Lorak, who is the second youngest. He's the youngest son that they have. When he makes friends, when he befriends this whale.
Oh, yeah,
I forgot
what
the whale's called. I mean, that is impressive. You see this, the size of this whale. And we spent a lot of time with this whale. I mean, they knew that this was impressive. So they rinsed it for all it was worth.
Yeah, when it got really water-based, this movie, when it went in the water, it was going on for a long time. I thought that was like my only criticism of the movie, I think, is that middle bit was long. I thought the movie started really strongly and I was into it. And then when we got to that scene, it came a tiny bit sluggish for me, just a tiny bit sluggish. I can see that's probably when maybe people's interest and attention span may have dipped a little bit during that little moment. But then it came straight back, and I thought the final hour of the movie, everything we were building up to, the final hour of the movie was fantastic. I know how much you love the whale, all right? I've heard mixed things about the whale scenes from other people. Some people say, what the fuck was that about? Well, this was too long. Them learning the water. But I suppose, in a way, like, sometimes if it did it the other way around, if it did it the other way around and we kind of had like a montage and we quickly flicked through it, you would almost feel like, oh, these lot learned how to be water people too easily. You can't win, basically, in these
scenarios. The other thing is, this movie cost $350 million to make.
Yeah.
Why would you put a montage? You know, you spent all this money on this
montage,
technology.
Not a montage, but like...
we're gonna do a montage. This is when
the music would have been a bit more like
the movie shorter with a montage.
The montage would have been a bit more like from a surf's up style. Hey, dude, that's me,
South Park
man.
Montage.
Yeah, so I think that for me that was the only sluggish bit of the movie. It just the pace kind of slowed down a bit, and I feel like if you're tired and my eyes at times dipped a little bit, and you can't criticize me for that, Mister. You fell asleep in a lot of movies recently. I'm just getting there before you do. I'm surprised you didn't fall asleep during this movie, knowing your recent run of form. But you stayed awake the whole movie this time. You didn't.
Actually,
to be fair, it's hard to fall asleep in 3D glasses anyway. So maybe that's where they get you. The 3D, incredible, right? Just as this, it gave me the same feeling that I had when I watched the first movie in 3D, and I was like, "This is what 3D is meant to be like."
Was filmed in 3D.
3D lost its way, and then this movie, it became a bit of a gimmick. And then this movie, again, has kind of showed you and reminded you, this is how you do 3D. Brilliant. Just so subtle. I think the bit that really got me was when it started raining and you could see the rain. That was amazing. How the fuck are they doing this? I had to took my glasses off a few times just to see what it looked like. And it was like taking my contact lenses out at the end of the day. It just wasn't, it wasn't great. But in 3D, amazing. Amazing. If you're going to watch it in 3D, for God's sake. If you don't, fucking, what are you doing? You've got to spend the extra bit of cash and watch it.
This is an event film. This is a movie you watch at the cinema. I think at the moment, I mean, we'll talk about it a little bit later on, of its box office predictions of what we think it might achieve. This is a movie that I cannot ever imagine watching at home.
No, same.
If you know what I mean. I don't think I've
seen the first movie at home. I think I watched Avatar 1.
I never watched it again. But I think the thing is with these stories, and there's, I coming into this movie, I knew two things. One, the effects were amazing, and two, the story was and I think this is the Avatar thing. They're trying to make this, I wouldn't say the story is but the story is very accessible, and it feels like you know the lay of the land with the story. You're not going to be surprised. In regards to you saying about the slow things, I think that it worked fundamentally for me because of a scene much later on, which I think if the movie was too fast, a very important scene, which we'll talk about a little bit later on, wouldn't have been as effective if we rushed things. Two great scenes I love in this, and both of them involve whales, weirdly enough, because the second one I really like is when they hunt the whale, which reminded me of Jurassic Park, The Lost World, when they hunt the whale, and just the, I think it was the imagination, like the crab machines that drop into the water to attack.
Yeah, they were
the
cool.
Little torpedo things. I just thought it was incredible. It was great action. And this is what James Cameron's brilliant at. And like you said about The Last Hour, you look at the last hour of most of James Cameron's movies. Incredible. I've always said to you, like, Titanic, for me, the last hour of Titanic is probably one of the best action sequences ever made. I just think it's so powerful. And I think he's good at the spectacle. He is a spectacle director. He knows what looks cool.
He does. He's very good at that. And it is... It's mad to think that the last movie he made was Avatar, and then he brings out Avatar 2. There was nothing in between. There was a few documentaries. We know he's obsession with water and the ocean. He loves it, doesn't he? He's absolutely obsessed with it. And he brought it. This is probably one of the best movies, maybe in the ocean, that shows the ocean like a planet. If you know what I mean.
Hmm.
There's subtle messages in Avatar about the planet, isn't there?
I wouldn't say subtle, but yeah, there are messages.
Subtle in the sense that, I suppose it's not subtle, it is the whole fucking premise of the movie. But if you know what I mean, like, it doesn't jam it down your throat because it takes it to a new world that you're not thinking that you're just watching a propaganda piece about saving the planet. And some people would just turn their noses up at stuff like that. But it kind of delivers it in a different way. That's what I mean by that. it does it brilliantly. I think another criticism I have is maybe just we go from the first movie to the second movie, and suddenly they're like, here's fucking 6 new characters and we have a bunch of kids. Oh, we have a human kid as well now. And that's that. And it was kind of like, it was quite quick, I guess, in the way they did it with the beads, didn't they? Each bead represents da 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 da. And I feel
what,
like
you
that
want
was
another hour onto that. Is that what you're trying
not
to
another
say?
Another hour onto that.
You
want like,
to cut it down? You want to add another hour to the movie?
That felt a bit speedy. It felt like we were just thrown in. We were like, hold on a minute. You almost like didn't need to watch the first one in a way. You kind of like, hold on a minute. What? we're new. But yeah, you have to. Another thing is, how did they get kids? They didn't really explain that too well.
Mommy and daddy love each other very much. But
Jake Sully used to be a human.
Yeah, but he's in an avatar body.
He is now, so he can mate as an avatar now. Is his body somewhere?
I have no idea what happened to his body. Like, is it now just skeleton? Because he is now in that body. That is his body.
Yeah. That is his body now. Well, I'm just interested in that. Maybe that will come up in another movie. I don't know.
I doubt it.
I think that's another thing you have to consider when you watch this movie is that there are going to be a load more as well. So,
depending on how this one does. But that will be interesting.
You can't end it this one, surely. They filmed
well,
back
no,
to back, didn't they?
There's a back to back, but James Cameron's come on and said that basically this movie needs to make 2.7 billion and for them to make a fourth one, otherwise it'll just end it at the third one. Okay. At the moment its box office worldwide is just over 550 million.
Is that him saying that because he has
that's him saying it.
I think that's him saying it because not because he's like, oh, it's not a success, we only made 1.9 billion. I think it's his way of saying, I want to spend a fuckload of money on this last one. I think he's probably moving towards making the most expensive movie of all time and breaking the record again and again and again. And that's why he needs to make the money.
I honestly think Jim Cameron, from things I've heard... Well, that's what he likes to be called, Jim.
Friends?
Big Jim. Big Jim is one of those people that at this moment, I don't know if it's an age thing or what, just doesn't seem to give a fuck anymore what he says and just will say whatever he wants to say.
I mean, you could, yeah. That's not a surprise, is it?
I'm not saying like he's trying to shoot himself in the foot, but I think he's being ultra realistic and serious, saying like this movie needs to make it needs to make 2.7 for us to make Avatar 4. Avatar 3 is coming out regardless. At the moment, it's got 550 million.
That's in like the first week as well. That's not, I mean, the first week isn't even over.
I think by the new year, they predict it's going to be about a billion. It's going to hit the billion mark.
How much did the first one make within the first two weeks?
I think the difference is now is that the cinema has rapidly changed.
Yeah.
Like you look at movies have a strong opening. Black Panther was one. Black Panther Wakanda Forever was one where it had a strong opening and then it just fizzled out. The only good thing to say about this movie is word of mouth. And I think that's what Avatar did. Same with Titanic. Most of Jim's movies are word of mouth. Like Avatar came out. Avatar came out, was an event movie. You have got to see that. Titanic, you were alive when Titanic was out. We never saw it in the cinema, but that was a movie everybody saw.
Oh yeah,
everybody saw that movie, not just once, twice, and all of that. I know one guy who's seen the new Avatar movie twice.
Already.
He went out on Friday, and then we bumped in on a Saturday, and he was taking another friend to see it. So it's one of those movies. Oh, this is the thing. Would you see it again in the cinema? The only movie I've seen twice in the cinema was the first Avatar.
I would see it with someone like, say like you hadn't seen it and you were like, I want to see it over Christmas. I would go and watch it again with you. I wouldn't go and see it with someone who's already seen it. If it was someone watching it for the first time, I would go and watch it with them if they wanted to go and see it.
How about like Dad? Would you go sit with Dad?
Oh yeah, yeah, no, I would. But I'd turn to him about 20 minutes in, and his head would be back, and he'd be snoring. So it would almost be like a waste of money. Don't waste your money, Dad, because you're not going to make it. You might get past the Indiana Jones trailer if you're lucky.
I don't know if you've seen Indiana Jones. I didn't see many trailers, actually.
Oh, I saw an Indiana Jones trailer. my one I did. Going back to the box office, looking at the 2022 worldwide box office biggest hitters of the year, this movie has been out less than a week, and it is ninth for the whole year already. So you're looking at that. It's probably going to be number... will it be number one in 2022? Probably not enough time to get there. I don't know. Maybe. It's going to be top five probably before the end of the year. But the biggest hitter of the year was Top Gun Maverick, $1.4 billion. So...
which was another movie on word of mouth. A lot of that was word of mouth.
Yeah, because it was one of those movies that I didn't think people expected it to be as good as it was. And then once the buzz started and everyone went and saw it. Jurassic World. Bloody hell.
they always do well, though. I mean,
we're not going to talk about these movies until our end of year list anyway. But
yeah,
Avatar's already cracked the top 10. So it's doing pretty well.
Is that telling of the year we've had? A lot of movies haven't done very well, and it is a shame. There's a lot. I mean, a movie like this, I'm not too worried about because it is a franchise movie. So if it was the first Avatar, this would struggle a lot, I think. But like, if you're not a franchise, if you're not already IP, you seem to really struggle these days.
Yeah, and you're right.
It's so annoying as somebody who loves cinema that nobody wants to go to the cinema. And I can't imagine saying, oh, I'll wait to see this on Netflix or Disney. Well, not Netflix, be on Disney Plus. I cannot imagine how much of a downgrade this would be on Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't mean to like shit on the movie, but what I'm saying is you have to see it in the cinema to really get the full scope and appreciate it. It's like, for me, it's like going to a restaurant and like looking at chef's recommendations and going, can I have some chips on the side for that? You know, it's like this is the chef's record. This is what they recommend how you have this meal. This is what Jim's recommended for you to watch this movie. Watch it in 3D. Watch it in a big dark screen with loud surround sound. That's the experience you need.
Yeah, it is. It is the experience. It's the way it is meant to be watched. I couldn't imagine not going to cinema to watch this movie. This is one of those franchises that I'm willing to be good, and I really want it to be amazing. It's kind of like the Lord of the Rings. When I first saw Lord of the Rings, I was like, this is incredible, and I want this to keep being incredible. This is the sort of thing I want from Avatar 3. It's going to be one of those things that if Avatar 3 comes out and it really dips in quality, or not quality, but there's something not right with it, it is going to be disappointing. But this movie, the final hour was brilliant. And probably, you put the two movies together, that final hour of the second movie is the best thing to come out of the Avatar franchise so far.
I like the story and the dialogue to be a little bit stronger in the next ones, though. I really do feel like watching this, I don't know if you had this with the kids, I really feel like he wrote this kid, he wrote the script with 90s kids in mind. I mean, there's a lot of bros, there's a lot of... they feel like surfers. A lot of them feel like
they had the John surfer,
O'Connor,
didn't they?
Don't they? They had John O'Connor. They just feel like John O'Connor and T2, and I just think, like, he doesn't understand kids. That's my first one. He doesn't understand kids.
No, you're right there. You're right there.
There's some things that were a little bit silly. The fact that the whale could talk to him. My brain, even though I'm looking at blue people, my brain went unrealistic. My brain just went, no, unrealistic. So there's certain things that I'm curious about. And there's a lot I like about it. There's a lot I like the visuals, but I do want a good character. And I think on the first one, obviously, the Stephen Lang character was the best character. He comes back, lo and behold, he is, again, one of the best characters.
He is pretty good.
And I think his dynamic's even more interesting here with the fact that he's got a son. And I like this little sort of the son-father thing against two sides. I think that's really good. It's obviously been done before. Think of Star Wars with Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker.
Mm.
But I like that kind of that friction because, you know, when you see that his father's still alive You're like, don't go and save him. And he does. There's something really interesting about that. There's...
Yeah, I feel like that's building up that character to be quite an important pivotal. For some reason, I thought as I was watching it, this kid's gonna go evil, and he kind of tilted a little bit towards their side, didn't he? He started to be sympathetic towards them and help them, and actually start to enjoy being around them. And I think he was
bonded
almost
with his father, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was also more kind of welcomed in than he was with his family, because there's some resentment there that he's a human. It's a bit racist, to be honest with you. So they kind of like,
well, they did destroy their planet. I mean, you can understand.
Yeah, but
why.
Don't blame all humans. They did. He's kind of, like the mother, especially Nytiri. She is kind of doesn't like him, does she? She doesn't see him in the same way. I mean, we can see that by one of the scenes where she was ready to fucking kill him to get her daughter back.
I thought that was a really interesting scene.
That was a good dynamic, yeah. And it kind of, yeah. Steve, I was surprised how quickly Stephen Lang's character just gave up as well in that scenario. Like, he did have a heart. Who would have expected that? He had a bit
it's
of a
his
heart.
Son. His son.
And then his son pulled him out from the wreckage. And yeah. Do we think that this is Avatar now? This is just a constant battle with that character and them for every movie? Like,
it's
Voldemort
hard to know
and Harry
what
Potter.
The third one. The third one's even going to be much of the same or totally different. And a part of me thinks it surely has to be totally different, because Jim doesn't make movies that are the same, right? They always feel like they've advanced a bit. And
Do you think we're going to go way forward in the future again? Because we jumped quite ahead in this one. Or do you think we're going to almost continue off the back of it?
I thought we would until Jim's been everywhere at the moment. He's been talking about this movie everywhere. And he talked about what he called the Stranger Things problem of kids aging out. Like he said, Stranger Things, you know, you see them at the start, they're kids, and by the end they're like 27 years old, and he didn't want that with his kids, which was one of the reasons he did it back to back. He didn't want them to age out. For example, Spider, he said Spider was like, they cast him, he was 12 years old, and he was growing like rapidly throughout the whole production, so they didn't want suddenly Spider to like have a beard. Like they really tried.
Becomes Encino Man.
Exactly, they were trying to like really. So I think the back to backs. I believe the second one, the next one, Avatar 3, won't have aged. But you would have thought if they're making 4 and 5, surely it's going to go in the future.
Yeah, I think 4 and 5 is going to be way in the future. I think you're right about 3. I think that will, judging by the way they've done production, it should almost carry on. Maybe we'll get a conclusion of Stephen Lang's character in the third one, and then the fourth and fifth will be something different.
Well, this is what Jones has said. So Jim has said that Jimmy boy. If they can't make a fourth or fifth one, they will make sure, he's made sure that they can end on the third. So he's made sure that it will all conclude on the third, which is, I think we're all glad about, because there's nothing worse than investing your time in something and then it just never ending. Like, it just leaving a climax. That pisses me off. So I'm glad that the third one will end it all if they allow that, obviously. It's interesting to know. Part of me thinks the Stephen Lang character is going to turn good. There's a part
really?
Of me that thinks,
nah,
yeah. There's
like
a part
that.
Of me that thinks he's going
to
turn
evil
to
the bone. I like how evil.
I
he
don't
is.
Think. I don't think he's as evil
it's
to the bone.
His veins.
I think he's on revenge, but also he's not Stephen Lang's character, is he? He's a memory of Stephen Lang. So he's a completely different person. But he's also Na'vi now. We forgot to mention that for people. Well, I assume that people listen to us have seen the movie.
I'll put spoilers in the title.
Spoiler alert, yeah. He's now Na'vi. And he also flies. I don't know the names of a lot of these things. He flies like a dino bird thing. Okay, that I'm going to call the Na'vi bird. He's friends with the Na'vi bird. He learned to fly the Na'vi bird the way Joke Sully did. You know, he didn't cut any corners. He's actually like really embraced Pandora. He's really embraced it. So I could see him potentially turning to the good side. I just think, does this film, are we waiting waiting around for a really bad character to emerge? Now, there's a few, looking at Avatar 3, there's a few cast that are in it that weren't in this movie that I kind of ponder on, like, who could they be? So I'm just bringing it up on IMDb here. So you've got Michelle Yeoh. She's going to be in as a doctor. She's going to be in as a human character, which is interesting. You've also got David Fluice, our main man from Naked, who we love. He's going to be in it, playing Pailak, who sounds like a Na'vi. You've got Una Chapman, who's playing Varak, who sounds like a Na'vi. So you've got a couple of new characters coming in, and there might be other ones here that I'm not sure of because they're not recognizable names that I know. So there is this interest that maybe, you know, we might have a big bad villain in the third one.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. Eddie Falcao, who played General Ardmore. She came out recently and said that she thought the movie came out years ago and it just flopped. I love that. Well, I was surprised when I saw her. Like, she's obviously best known for being in The Sopranos. As soon as I saw her, I was just like, I feel like I've never seen her in anything else. She's just Sopranos.
She had a typical Big Jim character, very, very over theatrical. Like the idea that she's got a coffee mug and also her like robot suit has got a coffee mug and they're drinking at the same time. I thought that's such a Big Jim. Like, let's make this character more exuberant than others. Yeah. And I wonder, is she going to have a bigger role, do you reckon? Because it's very small in this movie. It makes me wonder if there's room for her to have a bigger role.
Yeah, probably. I would be surprised if it wasn't bigger. It seemed like they were teeing up a few in that movie as well. It did really feel like it was one half of another movie.
Yeah, same with Jermaine Clement. Survived. We assume we didn't see him die. He seems like he might have a bigger role. Kate Winslet, you have to assume, obviously, they cast a big actress there. And actually, she doesn't do a lot in this movie, which makes you wonder whether she's further in the line, more important. I think the kids, I think Larak, I think will be the main character in the third movie. I think he was potentially the main character in this movie. I think a lot of the story was based on him as this sort of kid. You know, he was the lesser son in terms of, like, the one always making mistakes. He was really the John Connor of this movie. Like, he was the lesser son, the one that keeps making mistakes, but the one who's got a good heart and tries his best. And I do believe that him and Sigourney Weaver's character, Kiri, will be the two main characters of this franchise. She was brilliant as well. Like, the fact that she played a teenager, and Sigourney Weaver's in her 60s, but I never once did not think that she wasn't a teenager. I was fooled for the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, when I heard that she was going to be in the movie, I was kind of thinking, how? Because it didn't really give a lot away beforehand. And I tried to read as little as possible before going in, because I wanted to be kind of surprised as well. And I was watching that and I was thinking, when I saw Sigourney Weaver's body floating in the tank, I was like, is that her in the movie? Is that it? And it did take me a minute to realize who she actually was playing, I'll be honest. Very impressive performance.
And she's like the second coming or something. She's like Jesus Christ, because nobody knows who her father is, but she's Sigourney Weaver's daughter. but her father has remained a mystery. It's like
that's another thing to uncover, isn't it? It's another thing to uncover in this
story.
There's
something there.
They're teed up a lot. They're teed up a lot for future.
I wonder if her father is Iwa, the spirit. I wonder if it's Iwa.
Iwa.
Iwa, who is the actual the like God there, isn't it? It's the spirit of Pandora.
Yeah, the tree. You mean, yeah.
She seemed to be very connected to Pandora, didn't she? So I just wonder whether she is a spirit child of some kind.
So you're saying Sigourney Weaver had sex with a tree?
No, I'm saying that like they just she just suddenly became pregnant. The trees, like how God did to the Virgin Mary, you know, suddenly you're pregnant with my son. It did feel a lot, very, very biblical. Like she might tie in how the humans, because this is the other part of this story, the humans, Earth is dying. Again, another cliche we know. They're not after unobtainium anymore because they realize that's stupid. But they've realized
they kind of let that one go. They kind of let that one.
They saw the first movie, so oh, this looks nice. We're just gonna live here. It's pretty nice. We fucked our planet up. So it makes me wonder whether she is going to be the bridge between both sides. Because we got to mention the other thing you said about the kids. They're all half breeds. The whole family's half breeds.
Yeah, they've
got five fingers, and of course one of them is also a human boy. He's not half breed. He's just a human boy.
He's a human boy.
So,
and his his dad is now a Na'vi. So this guy, if you want to confuse the kid as much as possible growing up, they're doing a good job. All right.
What did you think of them getting rid of the subtitles halfway through and them talking in English? You for it or against it?
Was it when was it halfway through? It was like part of it.
Yeah, it was pretty early on when Jake Sully said, "Oh, we could almost be speaking English now." And suddenly,
that was the point. Yeah, I thought that was like just a way of switching it because I think it would be hard to maybe sell the movie to a more casual cinema goer, if it was all in a made up language the whole way through. I think a lot of people may have a little less patience for that. I don't know, people that love cinema and can just accept that it's different and unique maybe would stick by it, and other people would be like, I'm not watching another fucking movie of that. Jesus.
I can't read when I have to look at things.
People hate reading, all right? People hate reading.
I hate it.
No, that was a nice subtle switch as well. It almost sounded English, and it was like, let's just be English for the rest of the movie and everyone's happy. I didn't mind that. I'll be honest. I didn't mind that. Because I, as much as I'm impressed with the language, I imagine even for them making it up for the whole fucking time, it is fully made up. That's difficult for a writer and a cast member. It'd almost be like it wouldn't be them being the people, would it?
It would be funny, though.
It would be funny. There should be a version.
So I think I wouldn't be surprised if this becomes like Klingon and this actually becomes an official language. Because Klingon is now an official language, isn't it? Do you think that this is the next generation's, the younger generation's Star Trek, Star Wars? You know, that young generation that's maybe 12 years old, 13 years old. Because for us, you know, the movies we got potentially into are the movies that we saw as kids. And I think as a 31-year-old man, I don't know if I can build those strong connections to franchises, new franchises. I don't know if you're the same. I feel like...
Yeah, no, I am the same. I am the same.
You've got your cult. It's like making friends when you're over 30. You've got your friends. You don't want more friends. And I just wonder if there's a part of that for us, but for like a younger audience... This is their beginning of movies. Maybe this is what they want to see.
And potentially that, yeah. You're making a good point because maybe that will grow and maybe we'll see that by the end of this movie. I suppose when the first one comes out 14 years ago and then this one comes out, the demographic of people who watch it has changed a lot, a real lot. So you would wonder whether people watch this movie who haven't even seen the first one and be like, oh, I love this. I'm going to go back and watch the first one. And then the fans are built from there. Who knows? Who knows? But I think that this one is so important to the franchise because...
And the cinema.
Yeah, and the cinema. Yeah, it could bring a lot of money in. Just because a lot of people will be like, this is a curiosity case for a lot of casual filmgoers who are like, I want to see it because it's been so long since the last one came out. Let's see what all the fuss is about. And then we'll see on the third one. If the third one makes more money than this one, I would be surprised, is what I'm saying.
Don't think it will.
I don't think it will either.
It depends. It really depends if the story is drastically better. I think if it's like Empire Strikes Back level quality, where it's like, my God, this is amazing.
Hmm.
Or if it's like Return of the Jedi, where it's a conclusive ending and they go, no, they've ended it perfectly, it's brilliant, then I think it probably could make them numbers. But if it was more of the same, don't know. I'm not too sure. I still would expect it to hit the billion. I still would expect it to hit those marks. But I don't know about if they would top each other's.
Let's conclude this episode with our predictions for...
Do we want to go through a couple of more things first? I mean, like we talked about the last hour, and obviously there's a dramatic change in the last hour with one of the main sons, the older son, dying. Now, I don't know for you, I thought that was truly an emotional scene. Emotion scene that actually...
Yeah, it was.
I did actually tear in my eye. I did. Wow. I did actually. I was surprised.
Soft in your old age.
You big old wuss. What are you doing here? And I just think it was just powerfully done with the family. Because the family, like I said, you spent a long time, wouldn't it? When the kid dies, it is traumatic. It makes me wonder, and I don't know if you think this as well. Do you think that this is a movie that will make casualties? And it's not like a Marvel movie where it feels like they can return back in the next movie.
Oh, I'd hate it if he came back. I really would, because it just cheapens it then, doesn't it? Because it's like, oh, no, there's no point getting sad for anyone if that happens. Now, I think it should be brutal. I think that's what brings the emotion, doesn't it? You kill off a character. You can't kill off a character and the audience go, why did you do that? And then they go, oh, yeah, right, here he is again. He's back. He's back. Don't worry, he's back. Now you got to see it through. You got to commit to it. If you're going to kill a character off, kill that character off.
And a main character as well. Like,
and it can change. Yeah, it can change the emotions. It can change the personalities of the other characters around them. So it's an important thing for the story, because with life, when you lose someone, you change. Something changes. So exactly. it can make the characters grow. And yeah, it gives them a bit more depth as well. So I'm all for that, and I think it should do that. And it did catch me off guard. I didn't expect that in this movie. I don't know why. I didn't expect that sort of death.
No. And as soon as that happened, the other thing it did was it raised the stakes for me, which is another good reason why you should do it in movies, is because there's scenes in it where they get trapped in the boat. And it's Lorak and Jake Sully, and it's Tuck, and what is the mother's name?
You're testing me. Neytiri?
Neytiri.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure that Jake Sully and Neytiri were going to survive. I thought one of them might die. I was convinced Jake Sully was going to die.
I couldn't see him going. No, I couldn't see him going.
But I just thought the fact that this movie killed off a character like that made me just go, I actually do not know who's going to live or die. And to watch movies, that's what you want. It's a bit of suspense. You want to be on the edge of your seat. So in terms of how they handled that, like I said, when we said the last hour is incredible, my answer for you, obviously, now that Disney own this and we know what they're doing here, TV shows, can you see
don't do it.
A TV version of Avatar? Even if they do a third one, they don't go any further than that. Could you see a TV show? And the second question is, if it's a TV show, surely it's got to be animated. Because I don't know how they can do it any other way.
of course I can see it being a TV show. And I think James Cameron, if he did allow that to happen, it would have to be at the end of all the movies. I don't think it would come anywhere between or anything.
No.
Not like Star Wars. I think Star Wars is like, they're still going to make more Star Wars movies, but they're like, we're making a shitload of shows, and they've oversaturated it. Like, fuck. There's a lot of Pandora to explore. It could possibly be a TV show, but the movie should end, and then if they do that, I wouldn't blame James Cameron for doing that, because he can make a shit ton of money just being an executive producer, and just letting it roll in, created by James Cameron, and then everyone else is doing all the other stuff. But it depends how attached he is to it. Maybe he is. He seems very like protective of this movie, in the sense that
spent a long time doing it.
Yeah, he's very protective. So maybe he would be like, you know what? No, he doesn't sacrifice the art of what he's created to let it be ruined by someone else. And maybe he'd be like, no, this is my thing. We're going to leave it as it is. I'd respect if you did that.
More stories in the canon. I can see them doing something like, you know, they did Star Wars to Clone Wars. I could see them doing a version of that with Avatar. Like something like that. Maybe like a one-off mini-series that they did like that. If it's like Disney, Disney are going to rinse it. Disney rinsed the fucking everything they are. So I can't imagine... even if it doesn't happen in the first 10 years of Avatar, of this 10 years now, I can imagine it happening the next. Like, I can't imagine him not fucking it.
They might just wave that little check in his face. And that's it. Impossible to turn down. You never know. You never know. I wouldn't blame him for that. I don't see him as a George Lucas, though. Yeah, I don't see him as a George Lucas.
Is George Lucas a smart man? Because I would say
he's a rich man.
He's a very rich man. And I think a lot of people would probably want to be George Lucas.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say James Cameron's probably doing all right, to be fair. So. I don't think he's struggling anywhere. He's had a lot of divorces. Maybe he's settled a lot of divorces. Other than that, I think he's all right.
It's hard to imagine. Like, I think he's very... fixated on his work. It's hard to imagine him never not being at work, if you know what I mean. He seems like a man who loves to go to work.
Yeah, he does. He does seem like a man who loves to go to work, but saying that, he doesn't make as many movies as we think he does. It feels like he's made a lot more movies than he has.
Because he is experimenting in technology, and he has to make the technology to make his movies. They had to make this stuff. And I think he loves that as well. Like, one of the great stories that I love about him is the fact that Titanic, basically he wanted to shoot the wreckage of the Titanic. And to do that, he needed to make a film of Titanic. And then he said, I would just stitch a love story in it. It feels like since 1997, he's had these little passion projects of his, which are just like, I want to do this technology and this really cool stuff. And if I give him a simple story, which is pretty accessible, pretty mainstream commercial, I can do whatever I want. And I do feel that's been his method for the last 30 years.
That is quite funny, isn't it? That is what he mainly wanted to do. The man just likes filming stuff underwater. That is just his thing, isn't it?
That is his bag. This movie reminds me a lot of The Abyss, actually. There's a lot of The Abyss about this movie. Which is one of my favourite Jim Cameron movies as well.
Yeah, big Jim Cameron fan over here. One day we'll do a ranked of James Cameron, but I feel like we have to wait for all the Avatars to be done before we even think about doing that.
Maybe we should do it. Maybe so wait until Avatar 3. 2028 we'll do that. See, I mean, if Avatar 3 is the final one, that's the conclusion, maybe we'll do his ranked list then. That'd be cool.
Yeah. I don't know how much you want to talk about, but we haven't mentioned it. I don't know why we haven't mentioned it. The whale killing scene, jumping on the boat.
At the end, sorry, yeah.
Yeah,
the whale talked about them killing the whale, not the whale killing them.
The whale diving on the boat and ripping that guy's arm off. When the arm ripped off, I genuinely went, oh. It's kind of like, I wasn't expecting that. I don't know why I wasn't expecting that. It felt very violent.
Sooner than I didn't understand the Jermaine Clement one when he said, because the other, he said, when the hunter said, I'm the smartest guy because I'm the one with the what's it called? The thing he had.
I don't know.
What's it called? The thing he shoots at the whale. the harpoon.
That's oh, yeah.
I'm the one with the harpoon. And as soon as the whale gets it, Jermaine Clement says, now who's the one with the harpoon? And I'm like, dude, you're on the same boat as him. You're going to die. There's not a point to show that you're right here. This is just the wrong time. But again, it's just that typical like 90s. It does feel like 90s dialogue. It still feels like
that's not a bad thing.
I don't mind it, but it's when I'm older, like if I was 15 years old, I'd laugh at that. Now I'm older, it's like, why would you say that in this predicament? why would you do that?
What are you doing, man? What are you doing?
Why are you being a
focus.
Dick? Why, he's already a dick. Why have you got to be a dick? Add on the dick.
Double dick. Bloody double dick. Right, yeah. Let's conclude this episode with our box office predictions for this movie. What do you think this is going to rake in?
I don't think it's going to hit $2 billion. I'm going to say between 1.5 to 1.7 billion. That's my prediction.
I do think it's going to hit $2 billion. I think it's going to be just over or near about $2 billion, 1.92 billion, I think. We're going to get pretty close, is what I imagine.
It's lucky there's nothing really rivaling it.
There isn't. I don't think anyone would.
Babylon. Like, I don't think Babylon's going to be a huge hit.
I don't think you would drop a movie at the same time as Avatar 2, not especially like a box office. Like, imagine Star Wars trying to go head to head, like a new Star Wars movie trying to go head to head with it, sort of thing.
Well, it wouldn't, because they're both Disney, wouldn't it? So it wouldn't.
Oh,
Disney,
yeah, of course,
wouldn't rival itself.
It wouldn't rival itself. Okay, maybe Marvel's Disney as well, wouldn't it? What the fuck isn't Marvel? Disney?
Disney own everything. next week we're going to be owned by Disney.
For fuck's sake, Disney does own us. Fucking hell! God damn it, Disney! Disney have Simpsons now as well. God damn it!
Disney own everything.
Damn you, Disney. All right.
I want the crossover between Avatar and Simpsons is what we want next. Or Avatar Marvel. Do you want to see Captain America turn up?
Are you sure? Has there not been like a Simpsons Avatar nod to or like anything?
There was on...
There's a couch gag of the Avatar. Yeah. I think that's it.
Oh, well, when they try and like put the, what's it called, the tail connection, make the bond with the chair.
Yeah, I think that's what they do. Yeah. That's what they do, which is quite funny. I think that's it.
What about awards predictions on this movie? What do you think? What are you seeing for it? What do you think it could get?
It's hard to say. I don't know. I really don't know at this point. I don't know about Oscars. Best Picture? I don't know. It's going to get a lot.
Ten movies get Best Picture.
Special effects, surely it's going to come down to those.
Visual sound, you imagine.
Visual sound. Maybe even cinematography on this as well. Director, potentially director. I don't think it'll get any writing nods. I'm not sure about actors. I'm not sure. Maybe a couple of supporting. Probably not, though. Best Picture could be in that 10. It could be just in that 10.
I think,
but it ain't winning it.
I think it'll get 5. That's my prediction. I think
I'm going to say 7 because I think a lot of the other more production-y, special effects, edit-y awards, I think they'll do well there in nominations, not wins.
I'm going to say picture, cinematography, production design, sound, visual effects. They're my 5, I reckon it'll get.
Editing, I think
it'll miss out
on
director. I don't know. It's a long movie, and I wonder whether that won't get it.
Is there a thing? Long movies don't get edit nominations?
It's the more
work you do, the less praise you get.
Well, you got to remember this. You got to think like how they think. And I look at it like this, right? 1917 did not get an editing nod because it was a one-take movie. And that's stupid because it was edited to be a one-take movie. Like it wasn't
a
one-take
movie. They didn't actually do it in one take.
No, they didn't do it. They just cleverly edited it so it was all one take. And they're like, it was a one take. Don't give it an edit. And I just think, like, it's 3 hours long. They didn't edit anything. There's nothing on the cutting floor. They put it all in. You know, I just think
there's plenty on the cutting floor here, surely.
It must be.
Yeah, I think he said he submitted a 9-hour movie. But I think that James is just a good marketing guy with some of this stuff.
He's been around for a long time. He's made a lot of blockbusters. Yeah, it's not his first time around the merry-go-round. He knows how it works. He's made some of the best action movies, the most expensive action movies of all times. So,
oh yeah,
I'm sure he knows what he's doing.
He definitely knows what he's doing. Good, bad, what the fuck? Where you put it?
It's good. It's good.
It is good. Of course, it's good. Has to be good. Right. That's Avatar 2.
The Way of Water.
The Way of Water. Interested to hear what other people think about it, so let us know. And we will catch you before... I don't know if it will be before the new year. It'll probably be after the new year of our top 10 movies.
Did Avatar top five?
Just top movies of 2022. We haven't decided exactly how we're going to do it. We're going to talk
I was going to tell you this time. So these are... I told you these, actually. I sent you a message, so that goes to show you don't listen to me. we have five categories, and we're going to do our top five in one, and then we're going to list, like, five. It depends if you want to say which ones are best or worst, or if you just want to do an alphabetical. It depends on you. So I thought we should do five categories.
Yep.
Top five, obviously the top five movies of the year. The worst five movies of the year.
Ooh.
And this could be like, you know, it could be like really so bad or just like they disappointed us because there were so much expectations. The surprising five, these are the five that we thought we didn't think were going to be as likable or as good as we did, and we watched them, we really liked them. Yeah?
Yeah.
To surmise what you said last time about movies we haven't seen, I put the five we need to see. The five movies of 2022 that we haven't seen that are on our list that we want to see. You know, for example, if they haven't been released yet or we just can't find them anywhere. And to end it off, the five movies that we want to see from 2023. These are the next ones. Well, these top five of the next year that unfold in front of us be in our top five of 2023. So the five movies we're looking forward to seeing.
There you go. That's good.
I think that's pretty good. I'm trying to see as many movies as I can in such a short time. There's a lot of movies, new movies being released on Netflix, Disney and Amazon at the moment. So I'm trying to get through as much as I can. I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot more movies this year than last year. But I think... calculating, I've seen 35 movies, which I don't know if for people on average if that's good or not. I think that's pretty good for me.
35 new movies, that is, by the way.
35 new movies. 35 movies all year out.
Yeah, I was going to say. No, there's chump numbers, man. Chump numbers. We've seen more movies doing this podcast. It wouldn't even make sense. Right.
Unless I just pretended I
was. Well, we watched 50 Arnold Schwarzenegger movies this year.
We did.
You can kill me.
And about 50 bad Christmas movies.
Yeah, that is true. That is very true. Right.
But a cleanse the palate with Avatar.
Yeah, you kind of had to. It's a good movie to end the year on. Right? But if you don't watch another new movie before the end of the year, this is a good one to be like, yeah, I'm done. The year's over. We can leave it at that. That being said, we are going to watch Glass Onion as well. This could be good. Anyway, we'll catch you in the next episode and have a lovely Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Goodbye.